Check, check, check.
All right. We're rolling.
Hello, everybody. You sound like your voice is worse for wear, but you seem like you feel better.
I still got a fair amount of cough, but I'm over the rest of the side effect or the illness effects that I had from last week. So,
Damien told me that you were on a conference call and that you sounded awful. You had to do like some sort of presentation.
I had to do a presentation Monday morning, and I called off sick. Other than doing the presentation, I was over WebEx, and I patched it into the soundboard here so I could cut out the microphone every time I had the cough. So
clever.
And so I had a little cough button going on, and it was a good presentation. Some people didn't know who was on the other side of the phone. They couldn't recognize the voice because it was so low and luscious.
So manly. I'm trying to think about what there is to talk about this week. The physics axe, I showed you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. It's so simple when you look at it. It's like, really? Is that all it takes? You know, it's like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, it's one of those cool things where it's like, man, even though I don't ever chop wood, it'd be something cool to have. The idea is that, so it's an axe. It's basically a standard axe, but it has a thing on
the handles. The center of balance is all wonky on it, and the handle's mounted off center. And it's not a very. It's actually made for splitting wood, not for chopping wood. Right. Like, you're not going to use it to cut a tree down, but you're going to use it to split firewood. So you would replace your maul more accurately. And when it hits the wood, it goes in maybe half inch, 3/4 inch or so, and then it twists.
It levers.
It twists, and that causes the gap in the wood to separate just from the extra momentum left over in your swing. And it beats the fuck out of wood, that's for sure.
Yeah. The videos are pretty impressive. They're just slap, slap, slap.
The guy's
slap,
like not slap, even working slap. Hard. Yeah. He's cutting up, you know, whole things of firewood, and it's pretty neat. It's like $250 for the axe and $50 shipping or so to get it here in the United States.
Because it's a Finnish, I believe. Mm-hmm. So
it's pretty neat.
If you ever need to chop wood, that's the axe to get. Split wood.
Yeah, I don't think it wouldn't be very effective for chopping wood. No. You want your regular axe for that.
Because it needs to split across the grain. Otherwise, it's not going to have any. The levering effect isn't really going to do anything.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I had only one person have any response to the Cards Against Humanity thing that we played. I think it was Tonight's Beer is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he said he enjoyed it, but it maybe went on a little. One or two things too long, and it was hard for us to tell because we were kind of drunk and we were into it. So
we were kind of drunk, yeah. Holy shit! It took me 3 hours to clean up that show for production.
What was wrong with it?
Well, part of it was So what I ended up doing was I just took the right channel because the left channel was the one where I was mostly overmodulated. Mm-hmm. So I just took the right channel off of the thing, and that was a big part of it. But it's just. So much off topic. You were being a real pain in my ass. I mean, you were just like, not completely all off topic, but I don't know if it was because Greg was here. I'm trying to think of good examples. But there were several parts where, so there was the parts where you were asking me questions specific about all these beers and breweries, and I didn't have the answers ready, right? So I'm like, I don't know. Like, how old East End was, how old Roundabout was, what's in this beer, you know? And I didn't have the answers. So, my response was like, yeah. So I cleaned up all that stuff to make us sound smarter. And then do you remember Amazon Space Station?
Yes.
I cut that whole bullshit thing out.
Oh, damn, because I had that written down to talk about. The Amazon Space Depot.
We never did
talk
about it in the post show. No. But I deleted Amazon Space Station from the main show.
Oh, man.
And a whole bunch of, bullshit that went along with that. And the show was already long. I had to cut this stuff. The show would have been almost 2 hours long, I think, if I hadn't cut all the crazy shit. I kept some in. It's still a very fun show, I think. But yeah, man, it was a lot of work to clean it up.
It's not often that Jeff has to edit a show anymore, so.
No, I'm not complaining so much other than just saying, you know, yeah, I did it. I wanted to get up quickly, so I got it up, you know. But I'm like, I'm mid-editing, I'm like, holy shit. This was not one of our stellar examples of live to tape, that's for sure.
No. I mean, I thought by the post show, I don't know if you probably didn't do any editing on the post show. But, I mean, by the end of it, I was completely sober. You know, everyone else was.
You were also drunk with fun, right?
Yeah, It was very fun. It was a lot of fun to do, and having them over was great.
Mm-hmm.
They were a real joy to be around. And
now, was Kiwi a code word? Or were people just yelling, Kiwi?
Yeah, Kiwi was a code word.
Okay. I couldn't remember if Kiwi was a code word.
I thought we may have added something to it later on, but
remember the last, like, 5 minutes got cut because...
Oh, that's right, because...
I hit the wrong button to pipe in music and cut us out and all that shit, so...
Right, so I forget what we did in the... We sang, didn't we? We sang some song.
Well, I started piping in the Counting Crows cover with the German guy.
That's right.
And then you were trying to over-talk it to mute it out, and then Greg and I were singing it to sing it back in, you know, so I was having a bit of a battle over that.
And then I did, like, a Mr. Jones. Mr. Yeah, Jones! Probably. Yeah. I'm not a big kind
of... It was funny how tonight's beer is... you know, it was like, leave us. Because it just cut off right where I left it. I deleted all the complete silence, right? But we're just talking, click. Nothing. He's wondering if it was an homage to the Sopranos finale.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't listen to the show, so I don't...
Mm-hmm.
I usually do. I usually do listen back to the shows to see if there's anything that I need to... say that, you know, that covers up for something that I did wrong, and be just sometimes, you know, okay, how'd that show go? Let's see. I don't mind listening to myself. I know some people get self-conscious about that. I think it's more videos. I get self-conscious about videos, but audio I'm fine with.
I only got 2 cough draw slips, so I'm trying to ration them out, so I'll save one for the main show. So forgive the coughing in the pre-show.
It didn't seem
actually,
to affect
last night was the first night where I didn't wake up, and the coughing didn't keep me awake at many times throughout the night.
Well,
last night I slept all night, so that's nice because it gets old.
Yeah,
it gets old real quick when you're waking yourself up 4 or 5 times a night coughing. It doesn't help for restful sleep.
It didn't seem to affect your beer tasting, the cough drops.
Makes you wonder, like, I was pulling some flavors that you guys weren't, though, right? So I think it might have. And I was going through it. I mean, these are the Ricola honey herb.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have all kinds of goofy linden flowers and stuff in it. And, I mean, aside, I did pull durian again, but, you know, I had some other weird pulls that no one else really seemed to get. So, or maybe you, like, got it, like, after I... talked you into it or something like that, right?
That definitely can happen. That's been known to happen.
So I think the cough drops might have affected a little bit. But no, it wasn't. Generally wasn't that bad.
One thing about the cards is that I remember that you were having I wouldn't say a tizzy. You're making
random.
You're making a reasonable point about random. I mean, you make a good point. It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when we were picking the cards, it was not... it was not in what you would mathematically call random.
Right,
which is basically how would you mathematically define
random? So I got in a tizzy about random because Greg said, you know, just draw cards randomly throughout the deck. And the main reason
it's a tizzy.
The main reason I made a big deal of it is not it was a culmination of other things that happened in my life and how you helped misuse it wrong.
Mm.
Like my sister will say, well, that was random when something unexpected happens, right?
That's a little bit different
than
my use, because my use was a little more on to point what random, it's a little closer to what random actually is.
Right.
Not.
Right. But still it's not, because you're definitely still, not as likely to pick the top card as you are a middle card.
Random means that basically, well, Does random mean that you are equally likely to pick
equal probability for all choices? Right? Yeah, that'd be random.
Okay.
So you're equally probable to pick you know, the card that came immediately after the previous card, mm-hmm. as you are a card right. on the other side right. of the deck. So,
and when you have a random sequence, what you typically will see is you will see things slightly bunched up and slightly apart in sort of equal measure. So when, like, a random sequence will have occasionally five of the, if you have a random sequence of numbers 1 through 0 through 9, mm-hmm. random sequence will occasionally have five of the same numbers in a row. That'll happen. Right. And that's not because it's not random. That's because it is random. Random causes bunches. And so mm-hmm. that's sort of where the gambler's fallacy comes from, when people think, oh, you know, I'm on a streak mm-hmm. or I'm not on a streak. It's bound to happen. And it says, no, just things do happen in bunches occasionally, just right. through random chance.
Yeah, so I did make a big point about the misuse of random, mostly to drive that point home so people don't, you know, misuse random more often.
Well, you made a point about it, but we never actually explained it, so I just wanted to bring it up. And,
no, I did briefly, but, you know, basically said, what do you mean it's not random? Like, you're not equally likely pick, you know, the top card of the deck as you are a card somewhere in the middle third, right?
Right.
So
it was mostly random within the middle.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And the edges were less random.
Now, random's not so important with that game, you know, yeah. in hindsight, right? I mean, you could have shuffled the deck and said, just draw cards,
right?
I mean, it would have been the same.
Exactly, yes.
Thing. You know, another thing with random that drives me nuts, have you watched The Wheel of Fortune at all lately? I mean, it doesn't have to be lately, but in the last 5 years?
I'm sure I've seen bits of it.
So, yeah. at the beginning of the bonus round, to add an extra damn wheel to the damn show, right? They have this little wheel.
It's called Wheel of Fortune. All right. They gotta have wheels.
They have this extra little wheel that has 15 to 20 of the bonus prizes in there, right? And the guy spins it, and it stops on one, and Pat points at it and says, can you hand me that? Okay. Right? So they spins this wheel, and it picks which one, right? But Pat doesn't just grab it, the host, right? He points at it and says, can you hand me that? Yeah, there's your prize. Hand it to me. And he hands it to him. It's why, I mean, I guess you spin the wheel because it's called Wheel of Fortune, right? And the wheel decides. Maybe that's it. Because it used to be you would just draw, you would pick a card off the table. You know, you pick an envelope off the table. But they decided to work an extra wheel into it. And, okay, so I'm talking myself out of being pissed off about this thing. Because it's the Wheel of Fortune, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, the only thing left to
wheels piss are sort of inherent in the premise.
The only thing that is left to piss me off is why every time it's an extra bit of the show where Pat's like, points to it. He's like, 2 inches away, like if this was the card, right? Uh-huh. He's like, okay, hand me that. You know, where his finger's like 2 inches away from the card.
Maybe he just wants to reinforce that he's not influencing.
Yeah.
It in any way.
I think it's to put up a fallacy that the spinner has more control, I think, is the main
that could be it too,
it, right?
That's certainly a thing in Magic. You let the user think, you let the person who you're playing with think mm-hmm. that they have a lot more control of the situation than they actually do.
Yeah.
And usually that is by, you know, when you do a card force, for example, mm-hmm. They think they're picking the card. So even though you've had it predetermined already,
right.
they think they're picking that card.
Or you're double lifting the card that you thought they
right,
picked.
Right,
the card they picked.
Well, in other things, I mean, I've seen it used in other ways. Like there's a great trick I saw that had to do with everybody had a everybody in the place had a number under their seat,
mm-hmm.
And they had a person from the crowd randomly pick a number from a big bowl full of ping pong balls with numbers on them.
Right,
and so when they did pick the number, it turned out to be the person who they wanted to be picked all along. Why was it the case? Well, because actually, all the numbers under the seats were, there were no ping pong balls to represent those numbers. So the person under the seat was ready for whatever number would be mm-hmm. picked and just had to get that ready.
That's a but good way to...
Yeah, it's a great way
it's
to...
It's a good way to, you know, have... You know, you have 100 ping pong balls in the thing and none of those 100 numbers are out in the... How do you guarantee they pick the right?
You have to have the person who is at the place ready with some way to manipulate his number.
So he has. So there might be a dozen different numbers that are likely to be, you know, that will be drawn, right?
And, well, no, he has a card that he can just very quickly adjust the numbers on. Looks like the other cards.
Right.
But he can just very quickly adjust the numbers to make it into the number that was picked.
Right.
And nobody else has any numbers that's actually in the bowl. And because people make the assumption
that it's a fair game.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. And I've seen those on America's Got Talent and other places. And, so the dude's a plant. And he picks whatever number's actually drawn from a small predetermined set. And everyone else thinks, oh, maybe next time.
Yeah. It's one of those cool little ways of subverting people's expectation that
magic's you tell them what the rules of the game are.
Yeah.
And then you lie and cheat. You break those rules, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the average person is, why is this guy telling me the rules if he's not going to follow the rules, right? About to trick you.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly why people lie and cheat.
It's always the assumption, you know, when you're dealing with those, that reality will work the way you expect it to. I remember Penn Jillette saying at some point that he used to talk with Richard Feynman back when he was still alive, and Feynman would never get tricks. One of the smartest guys ever, never get tricks. And because he expected the universe to work in a very particular way. And so he was thinking along the lines of, okay, how would this work? Mm-hmm. You know, how did the universe work then? And he didn't think the universe would ever lie to him, and therefore he didn't think that the trickster was actually lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of magic is you're lying from get-go.
Right.
You're lying from the very beginning. But if you're honest about it, you know, you tell them right away, look, I mean, this is a trick. There's nothing magical about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a trick. And I like to even show people the tricks because I just think they're cool.
Right. Cool.
All right. We just played some Super Mario.
You're like holding down the run button when you do everything.
That's,
you're pretty reckless.
That's how I learned to play it, so that's sort of how I play.
Okay.
Yeah. I always hold down the run button because that gives you the better jumps.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you go faster, that kind of thing. It may be worse strategically.
Well, especially when you're rusty, right?
But it's the ADD in me, I guess. I gotta go fast.
Especially, yeah, Greg had a bunch of very careless deaths because he kept the run button pulled down.
I got better at it.
I
slowly, you know, reintegrated myself into how I was doing it. I didn't get great, but I got better at it.
I mean, the controller has a pretty good feel. It's not perfect. I don't think it feels exactly like the original controller felt.
Yeah.
You know, response time-wise and things like that.
It's the Xbox controller versus the NES controller.
Yeah, we're playing.
Actually, the Super NES controller it would be, because that was the Super NES version.
Yeah, I play that one mostly because the gameplay is the same. It just has better graphics.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as bad.
Better music,
yeah. So I play the Super Mario World All-Stars version of Super Mario Brothers. That's one. I don't think some of the 99 lives trick. I don't think that works on that version. I haven't been able to get any extra lives off the turtle shell.
Well, you can always do things in those emulators, like just actually find the life thing and just adjust it for yourself if you want to, or you can save your states. I mean, you can do all that kind of stuff with emulators. So
yeah, saving states pretty nice, right? Because you get to 8-1, and you have 12 lives. Okay, then it's time to save, right?
Yeah.
Because, man, I've actually never beat the game. I've never beat Super Mario Brothers. And I'm like, now that I'm playing with Allison, I think I'm going to try to set a goal to actually beat the goddamn game.
I think I have beat it once or twice.
So, I mean, I know I've gotten to 8-2. I've gotten 8-2 this time around. In the past, I think I might have gotten 8-4. But I know I've never beaten the game outright myself, so.
I don't know if I've ever done it on the Super Nintendo version. I believe, you know, when I was a kid, I did it on the regular version, because when you're a kid, what else do you have to do?
Right. I can't recall if I've beaten Super Mario Brothers 3 or not. I know I've gotten right to the end.
Oh, I've definitely beaten Super. I've beaten that 100 times. I loved that game. I was in love with that game.
I know I've gotten right to the end. I'm not positive whether I beat it or not. I'd have to get there and kind of see how, you know, jog some memories. Beat Contra, but But not with three lives.
I never beat Contra.
Not even with the 30, huh?
I bet I'd be with other people, but I'd never beat it on myself.
Yeah, I've beaten Contra with the 30
lives. I was always just, I would die so quickly. I was terrible at that game.
Oh, it'd be such a tedious game to play these days.
Yeah. The whole way the games are designed that then versus now is different. So different. I was playing the South Park game, which is hilarious. If you're a South Park fan, you will love this game. If you're not a South Park fan, you probably won't like it. I mean, it's just like playing an episode. It's got so many references to a bunch of episodes, and it plays, or it feels just like you're watching basically a season of South Park, because it's about 15 hours worth of gameplay in it, roughly. Okay. So the gameplay itself, have you ever played Paper Mario?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that.
Okay.
So it's... But it's a whole lot of fun. It's really, really almost kind of effortlessly filthy in that perfect South Park way. Mm-hmm. There's a part where you give someone an abortion. There's
nice.
There's a whole alien part of it. There's just so much great stuff. I don't want to give anything away, but
You mentioned that you could get me a bunch of Super NES games, right? Yeah. The reason you only saw the one is because that was the favorite.
The favorite, yeah.
Right, but that's the big ask emulator disc, the BAED, which has thousands of games on there. But you mentioned I've been kind of trolling through the SNES list, and I can play a game here and there. I'm like, oh, these games suck so bad.
There are a lot of games. There are so many games.
I'll have to go online and find a list of the top 20 SNES games.
Yeah,
and give them a try or something like that.
I mean, I remember I loved Final Fantasy. What was actually Final Fantasy IV, but it was Final Fantasy II in the U.S. And Final Fantasy III was also really good.
Okay.
Those are RPGs. You want to spend a lot of time doing those. I think I remember the Star Wars game being very good, or at least for a platformer. And
I didn't know there was a Star Wars game for that.
Yeah, Pilot Wings was great. Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings. That was
Star Fox.
That was N64, though, wasn't it?
No. It was originally on the Super NES. Okay. Star Fox. I'd have to get a list, too. It's been a while.
Yeah. But, that emulator, I've also, goofed around with some, Sega Genesis games. Couldn't find, I'm trying to think back, what were all the great games that I played in my friend's Sega Genesis? And I couldn't think of any of them, so I played a little song.
Altered Beast.
That's probably one of them, yeah.
It's such a terrible game. If you play it now, you'll be like, oh my god, I love bad, this game. Huh? It's so bad. Okay. The controls are awful, and it's just... it's so terrible. Golden Axe is still, I think, okay.
Okay.
Golden Axe is there.
Got ColecoVision and Television.
So if you want to play those games, should we just finish this?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We still have the Rai Saison from last week in growler form. My friends, they liked the other one.
Cool.
What was it? The Bread triple. Yeah.
Cool.
Whatever. Well,
glad it went to good use. I drank a little bit of higher PA that was left over. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Mm. I just drooling. Good stuff.
And I remembered to bring back the growlers.
Thank you.
Washed and cleaned, ready to go.
Got to keep the caps off though. Even if they're clean, the moisture inside will grow mold. So.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I took the caps off already. They're hanging in the bottle tree drying. So, yeah, you gotta keep your growlers dry. I've even closed them off with sanitizer inside. I thought, keeping a ecosystem of sanitizer in there. Nope, still grew mold.
Wow. So. Well, if it gives you any hope, I mean, they were basically. They had their caps off. I'm not worried about the last couple of days. They just were full of warm, soapy water.
Okay. Yeah, just not worried about
it. Well, no, it was only warm for a little bit.
Yeah. Not worried about the couple of days. It's just when you, like, if you, even if they were as clean as you could get them, mm-hmm. like you had them, not good enough, right? They just, unless you, like, sterilize them, they're not going
to
stay clean.
I do know that every time I'm about to use one, I always, I always wash it before I bring it out.
Yeah.
I do know that much.
Yeah, it's a lot better to keep them dry and then just give them a quick rinse and. That's all you got to do then. So, trying to think. I heard some. Well, there was a science story. What was it?
Was it the Amazon Space Depot?
No, not the Amazon Space
Depot. I forget exactly how it came up, but we were talking about how.
About not having Prime in New Zealand.
Right.
And then you
mentioned
the drones. And then I think you jumped right from drones to deliveries from space.
Wouldn't that be great if Amazon had a giant space warehouse? And they just dropped mm-hmm. their products from space. I mean, it would take a lot to get it up there, but mm-hmm. once they're up there, it's a lot easier to throw to get things down.
They just come down a little singed and melted.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you do it, right? I mean, if you do it through a space elevator, it's fine. It doesn't get singed out. The only reason that you get singed and melted is because you have to go from your orbital velocity mm-hmm. to zero. Right.
Space elevator to everyone's house. Yeah. A little string going up the everywhere in a hemisphere going up the one space station. Airplanes can't fly anymore because there's so many space elevators going.
Why would you need airplanes at that point? Get everything you want instantly.
You could just hop in a pod up to Amazon yeah. and then down to anyone's house you want to go to.
Exactly.
Hey, Greg, I'm coming to your house.
Yeah.
Through geosynchronous orbit.
Better hope the weather doesn't interfere with. That does remind me of something that I heard from somebody who was trying to convince his grandfather. I forget where I heard that. Somebody was trying to convince his grandfather or his father that wind farms were a good idea. And his father said, wind farms, what about the effect they have on the atmosphere? Because they're taking energy away. And he was saying, what about forests? I mean, we've dealt with forests for millions of years.
Well, there's that. There's also, what about less hurricanes? Oh, no. If you're going to take energy out of the atmosphere, let's take that energy out of the atmosphere. Less hurricanes would be nice, wouldn't it?
The point is that you could put them in around the world, and they would have less impact than forests do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't looked at the research on how much... if taking that energy out of the atmosphere would affect anything, right? Like how much of the entire, of the potential it is and whether, there's a net loss. Like, because, there's plenty of opportunity for, it could be to such a thing where there's more potential for solar energy converted back into convection back into stuff if you take it out, right? There could be a surplus of...
Well, I think that there's a chance that you could have, if you have a large wind farm, a sort of localized effect mm-hmm. of smaller energy in a certain area, and that could cause butterfly effect things elsewhere.
Right.
But, yeah, but it's like, the idea would be some sort of very powerful... solar conversion, because we get so much energy from the sun and we use almost none of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could do that, then it would be great.
They put solar cells on the windmill blades.
We need to get
a hybrid energy source.
We need to get solar cells on the roof of every single building in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money to do that. But if we did that, then we'd be... pretty close to solving our energy problem. We'd still have efficiency issues, but
mm-hmm.
it would go a long way. But that's every building in the world.
There's that, but you talk about efficiency. When you have that much practice making solar cells, the technology is going to get so much better by the 4 billionth house. That, the last third of the solar cells are going to be as efficient as the first two-thirds. That
you would hope, yeah.
So.
So So Amazon Space Depot.
Amazon Space Depot.
Thumbs up.
Look for it. Did you see that Amazon adopted the Zappos thing where they'll pay you a couple thousand dollars if you quit? For full-time employees? They don't want people to be stuck around in a job they don't want to work, right? So they're giving them more incentive to leave. So they'll pay, I think it's between $1,000 and $5,000 if you want to quit your job.
Are you getting a little buzz on your... Is that
nah, just... I don't have a buzz. It sounds good on the side. Let me jiggle your cables.
My headphone gets a little bit buzzy sometimes. Here,
let's switch you in the third.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I like the... I guess I understand that, you know, if you're working in a place and you don't like it, they'd rather have somebody new around than somebody right. who just doesn't like working there. But still, and,
you know, I mean, underperforming employees are a drain on the company, right? I mean, this gets them to leave.
But if you quit, then you don't get to get unemployment and all the other stuff. So it's not that great. It's mm-hmm. only way it works is if you have another job lined up.
You could also, I mean, you could look at it a couple different ways, right? I mean, it could be you line up another job, you know, turnover is good, right? I mean, for both the company and you know, and employees and everything. That's only if you're on the verge of being laid off or fired, yeah. right? So the unemployment thing, it affects some people, but, you know, not everyone. You know,
if you're getting fired for cause, then you don't want to.
Yeah.
Then it's good. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to get laid off, it's not a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. But you know, it also could give you a little extra motivation to do the thing you want to do, right? I mean, it's only a couple thousand dollars. It's not. I mean, per employee, it's really not a big deal. I mean, just work that into the cost of acquisition, the cost of, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, $1,000 or so or $5,000 is not that much money for Amazon.
Yeah, I guess Zappos has done this for, you know, ever
since. What is Zappos?
It's the shoe, online shoe store that Amazon bought a couple years ago.
Oh.
You order your 5 pairs of shoes, they send them all to you, and you send 4 back type thing. And they have fanatical customer service. You know, like, they're well known to everyone except for, you know, you apparently, for
no idea
for their shoe thing, but I've never used them, but apparently the customer service is bonkers good. Like,
it didn't change the buzzing, by the way, so I don't know what the deal is. It could just be my headphones.
Give that a try.
Start talking.
Check 1, 2.
That's fine.
I got a buzzy voice.
No, it was different.
That's weird. We are both on the same jack on the soundboard, so...
I think it's just the headphones maybe a little wonky, but that's okay. Talking about, you know, complaining about dumb stuff, so... let's see. Oh, okay. So, Orphan Black started again. Remember Orphan Black?
Yep.
Did you like it? You liked it, right?
I liked Orphan Black, yeah. I watched the premiere episode. Let me recall... I remember not thinking it was awesome. Like, okay, maybe they'll get into some, you know, the season premiere.
Did you watch the whole series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the whole series, and I watched the premiere last week.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you did.
Yeah, I watched the season premiere. I'm talking about the season premiere last week, season 2 premiere. And
I thought it was great. I really liked it.
Okay. I thought it was... Yeah. I mean, it took me a while to recall it, right? I mean, you were talking about you had it on your list, right? I watched it and then, you know, kind of filed it away. So, yeah, I think it was pretty good. See where they're going, you know.
It's buzzing again.
Yeah. Do you want a different set of headphones?
No, I'll deal with it.
Okay. I'll have to get you a new set of headphones. Donate the... Buy Greg a set of headphones on by going to craftbeer.com/Amazon. I'm glad it's back, you know, because it was such a good show.
Yeah.
First season.
Really, I mean, really, you just have to admire Tatiana Maslany. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are very few actors who could do what she does.
Yeah, and what she does is she plays 4 different people.
Very distinctively.
Yeah.
And then when, and sometimes she has to play those people imitating other people, and she does that in a way that makes it very much like those people are imitating.
That's some of the best stuff is when she's playing one of her characters imitating another one of her characters, because they're all identical twins. So, you know, they do the hair up differently, but she has to take on the mannerisms because they've all evolved to be very distinct people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun when she plays someone playing someone else.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess it's up to six now. One, two. All right, well, okay. So you take Beth, who died in the first episode,
right.
Sarah, who's the main sort of character. What's the housewife's name?
I'm not sure I got the name.
So the housewife, there's Cosima, the science girl. There's the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
There was the German one very briefly.
Right.
And there is the one who is working at the company.
Right.
So that's seven so far. One of them, of course, Beth never was really in the
book. But I mean, the thing about but the show, she played Beth. They can always introduce new ones, right?
Yeah.
Because they're clones, right? So they could say, you know, so halfway through the season, they could introduce four more of them.
Yeah.
And that'd be pretty cool if they introduced four more that are all distinct characters somehow, right?
And they have different accents, and it's all different, so.
Right. Yeah, it's a fun show. That's Orphan Black on BBC America.
What else is there? So Game of Thrones, we haven't even talked about Game of Thrones. Have you been watching?
Yeah, I've been watching. There wasn't one last week, right, because of Easter.
Yeah, there was.
Really? I didn't get the last week's. Well, don't talk about last week's.
Okay.
No, I saw the one where Joffrey had an unfortunate wedding reception.
Yes, that was something that was in the book. The Storm of Swords, his third book, you know, the Red Wedding happens, and then kind of three or four chapters later, this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like bam, bam.
Like, who's going to be in charge here in a couple weeks? Yeah. Who knows?
So it's. I mean, A Storm of Swords was such a dense and over. It was definitely the best book in the series. Okay. So all the great stuff happens in this in these two seasons. All the really awesome stuff. The other stuff is okay. It's good, but it's not as good as the awesome stuff that happens in Storm of Swords.
I was watching that episode, and I haven't seen the follow-on one yet, so I'm not sure what happens there. But it seemed like, oh, really? You're going to finger the midget? Come on. He was thrust into that situation by Joffrey. How do you poison him, you know? He didn't even want to be there.
It doesn't matter to Cersei. I mean, she always hated him.
Yeah, I know.
And did they ever? I don't think they ever in the show covered something about it, so that I won't tell you anything.
Okay.
About that. Let's see. Rick and Morty is over for the time being.
I still got quite a few of those to watch.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch them. Got them, you know, downloaded. It's a good show. It just I've been kind of saving those for when there's nothing else on.
Silicon Valley is pretty good. Mike Judge show.
I've heard of that from a couple people now. I'll have to give that a look-see. That's an HBO show. And then I was watching The Daily Show last night, and I saw that John Oliver's got a HBO show. I didn't know about that till
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday.
And what is that? It's like a weekend review type thing? Or?
Yeah, it's his version of, I guess, a Bill Maher type show.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we won't know until we see it what it's like. But John Oliver is a very funny guy, so I'm sure it'll be good.
You're talking about him being a potential successor for Daily Show, right?
I thought that was they were sort of grooming him for that, and then he left. So,
See, I think I had missed that he had left. Right?
Oh, really?
I did. I think I missed those episodes. Right? Because he came back on this one. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't seen him in a while, and. Oh, he's not doing.
There was an episode where he left, and they, you know, and they had a big thing about it. They had a big.
I missed that one.
Too bad. I mean, you can watch them also.
It's not a problem. I missed that. Because there was a period where they were running hot and heavy, and I got behind, and I skipped a couple, and then they went on break, and came back, and now I'm watching him again, but I missed when John Oliver left, so.
I think that's it for right now. We can cover anything else in the post-show. Yeah,
sounds good to me.
Get ready for some New Zealand stuff. Kiwi beers.
I was going to say and beers, too.